Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event between Jessica Andrade and Amanda Lemos. Okay, let me quick tell of the tape first. So 11-1-1 for Amanda Lemos. One loss was to Leslie Smith, upper weight class, and one draw as well before she came to the UFC. Jessica Andrade, 22-9. Of course, you know, former strawweight champion. We know a lot more about Jessica Andrade in the later rounds against high level opponents, etc., than we do about Amanda Lemos. But you know, watching these two fighters, it becomes quite clear quite quickly that Lemos is probably the better technician out of the two. With Jessica Andrade, there's a wildness to her game, there's a recklessness to her game, which it pays off a lot of the time because, you know, particularly like you watch her last fight against Calvillo, at the point when she decides she starts to attack, even if her opponents receive the punches on their guard, they feel the power and the explosiveness and the danger that's there, that's posed by that, but you know, by that flurry. And then it's very rare that they're able to do anything back to kind of, you know, capitalize on the fact that she's rushing forward. You know, you see someone charging forward like aggressively with their chin in the air. Of course, you know, as a counter puncher, you're rubbing your hands together because it's, you know, it's Christmas Day come early. But because she moves so quickly and she throws such a volume of punches, it's often just too overwhelming for her opponents to be able to muster any kind of counter offense. Just going back to the stats for right now, we've got a 3-inch height advantage and a 3-inch reach advantage for Amanda Lemos. But then you've got to wonder how quickly that reach and height is negated by the fact that Jessica Andrade comes charging into range. At times with Andrade, we've seen her be a bit more cautious and a bit more kind of tempting her way in, but then she's not been able to get her hands on her opponents. You know, you think back to when she fought Joanna. She chased after her a few times and Joanna's footwork was too much. Counter-striking was too much. Almost caught her in the first round, almost was able to get to her, but then after that, the lesson was learned and she was not able to get anywhere near her. And I think Lemos is going to look at Andrade and think, okay, I know how I win and lose this fight. I think Andrade comes in who she is. She's going to charge forward aggressively. She's going to try and overwhelm Lemos. And at some point in that flurry, if she feels like the punching combination is coming to an end without a decent conclusion, she might level change and pick her up and slam her. So a higher striking output for Andrade, but a higher striking accuracy for Lemos. And then almost 3 takedowns per 15 minutes for Andrade, but then 87% takedown defense for Lemos. I think it's going to be very difficult for Andrade to be able to manhandle Lemos like she has other fighters. I think Lemos is comparable strength and power wise, and you know she's a technical fighter as well. Let's have a look at a couple of things. So if we picture Jessica Andrade, we all see the same thing. We see her come charging forward with that recklessness, which can be very, very overwhelming, like we were talking about against Calvillo. Like, what I'm seeing here is an aggression. She's determined to make contact, and you see Calvillo trying to find space, trying to get away. She thinks about counter-striking, but she can't even get enough space to do it. Constantly backing up, being pushed away. And Andrade is not doing the most technical stuff, but these flurries work because she's determined. Now, something that's quite consistent with a game, although she does throw both hands, she's very much right hand dominant. So you'll see her kind of sweeping her opponent. She'll use this long left hook to sweep her opponent towards this right hand, and it'll go sweep, club, sweep, uppercut, sweep, club. Now, she actually lands a couple of good lead hand uppercuts on Calvillo, but even so, you can still feel that there's a determination to land that right hand. Everything revolves around it. Look, so here's the long sweeping hook, power right hand, sweeping hook. The posture for the, here it goes again, look, preference. The left hand isn't really doing anything. It's kind of gauging distance. So you see Anthony Johnson do this a lot when he's got, like, you watch the Nogueira fight, when he's got him backed up against the fence and he's playing hacky sack with his head. He's unconscious, keeps sliding. It's like that scene out of Family Guy where Peter's got the dead frog and he's trying to Jamie knows, he knows it. He's trying to slide it up the window, up to the window frame and throw it out. Like, that's what Anthony Johnson was doing. Like, placing his hand, lifting him up, placing his hand, lifting him up. You know, and you see similar things with Andrade here. It's a very common trait of power punches, natural power punches, because they know their power fist and they know how to keep placing it. Look at that. Lovely. Look, reaching for the left hand, reaching for the left hand to set up the right hand. Club. Reach, club. I mean, a little level change there just to try and catch it. But again, right hand to follow. Little sweep with the lead hand. But all the time, you can see this as posture. This is what Calvillo's watching for. She's paying attention to that right hand, which is why this next combination that follows is really good. But you, like, this is constantly postured, ready to go. It's like a bow and arrow with the bow drawn. Big sweeping left hooks, look, just to try and bring their opponent back. That's a lovely uppercut off the lead hand, but then a sweeping right hook follows it. And you can see on Calvillo's face that she's overwhelmed. Like, she's open palm, she's trying to push her away, she's closing her eyes, she's like, ah, like, just stop for a minute. But you also see the same on the other side from Andrade, where she's charging forward. Yeah, you'll see it even more in the slow-mos. You'll see how she's charging forward, chin's up. Sometimes her eyes are closed or she's looking away. Her intention is to throw the punch, but she's not always looking where the punch is going. And this, again, it comes back to the technicality of Lemos. I think this is where she's a better fighter. Like, she's going to be more laser-focused on the targets and better able to pick those shots. There might be a slightly less output, but the output that you do get from Lemos is far more effective. It's like laser-targeted missiles instead of, like, carpet bombing. That's what Andrade does. She's a carpet bomb kind of fighter. There's the long swinging left hook. Look how wide it comes from. Just pulls her back towards the right hand. Constantly the focus is the moving their opponent back to the right hand. And look, chin's up, like, she's not in the best position to receive shots, but she also knows that she's going to trade power and she's going to win that exchange against almost everybody in the division. Now, I will say that I think Lemos can really, really hurt her. And I think that the opportunities for Lemos to do that will be when Andrade is charging forward. But you've got to pick your moment, because you can't, if you're determined to catch someone with a flying knee as they level change, you can't start throwing flying knees from their first takedown attempt. You've got to get their timing. You've got to get their setups. You've got to understand where their head's going to be when they level change. And I know someone out there will go, ah, yeah, but Masvidal, etc. But that was from study. Like, that was from watching Ben Askren's fight against Robbie Lawler and understanding that whenever he level changes, he puts his head to that side. Like, there's a process of learning there. Like, if you're fighting someone as an amateur and you've never seen them fight before, or even as an early pro and you've never seen any footage of them, like, you have to have that feeling out process. You can cut down on that feeling out process by doing research of your opponent, but then who knows how much people are researching? Like, Masvidal, we saw that he'd researched Ben Askren. We saw him drill that technique, so he knew to take that risk immediately. The reason I'm saying this, it comes back to the point. If Lemos is deciding that she's going to counter-strike, she can't assume that it's going to be the first punch. You know, it's very, very rare. It takes a very special athlete. Look at McGregor with his counter cross on Aldo. It's very, very rare. She's going to have to pick these moments. She can do it, though. Like, this is what we saw against Montserrat Conejo. She's got really good, accurate striking, but it still wasn't the first punch that she landed. It was a few. She's also got really, really powerful kicks as well, and she much prefers to fire the power right leg. You'll see what I'm talking about here. So orthodox here against Conejo, power kick to the body, moves away, and she's trying to snipe her with this right hand as she's moving in. But you can see she tries it there. Now, this is the danger. This is the benefit in Lemos's game, is that she's got these techniques that she can use. The danger is that Andrade's not going to step forward with one or two punches for her to try and counter her. She's going to be coming with 10, 15 shots. So if this counter doesn't work, you've then got to think about your exit strategy or what comes next. Because as you can see here, as Conejo moves forward, she throws that right hand, but it doesn't land. And she's only just out of the way of that next shot. But you'll also see Conejo stops. She keeps moving forward, but she's discouraged in her attack. After that, right hand comes a left hand and a right hand and a left hand and a right hand. Like, you've got to be careful leaving yourself in range. Like, lovely work circling again, and this is what I'm talking about with this kick. She plants that back foot. Unfortunately, it's on a camera angle change, but you can see the back foot plants there, and as soon as those toes make contact, she's then springing off that because Kaneo's moving towards that leg. Bang. Lovely clean kick right in the side of the neck. I don't know how she took that. I think maybe neck tattoos make you better at taking shots, you know. Oh, I can't say that. Cody Garbrandt didn't work out too well for him. Anyway, lovely work here. Lovely counter shot right down the pipe. Clips are clean. But again, it's the shot that hurts her at the end of the fight, but it doesn't stop her here. She glances that right hand on the chin, and she's still there for shots. You've got to think that's where Andrade's causing the problems. I like this counter punching that she's got. This is the stoppage. I like this counter punching that she's got. And I'm not saying that this is not going to work. My only point is that she's got to be careful when she decides to pull the trigger, because she can't assume that Andrade's going to stop if she doesn't land the first two punches, because she's not. So there's an inherent risk in Amanda Lemos playing this counter in game. But the benefit is that she knows full well that her opponent's moving forward. That's something that you can bank on with Jessica Andrade. You know that she's going to run onto shots. You just got to make sure that you can land yours and not take what's coming back in your direction. So watch how she actually catches this. It's all about how she plants this back foot. Lovely clean shot as she drops that back foot back. Look at that. Little adjustment. Right on the camera angle change. So we're going from there to there. Really not much. A very, very subtle difference. But it's just enough to bring her shoulder back so she can now cork that right hand right down the pipe without moving her front foot. Bang. Right on the chin. And she does a good job of getting out of the way here as well. But still, you know, Conejo's crashing forward. She's still there to take more shots, you know, if Andrade's not hurt with that first shot. The precision striking, and as we can see, the power, absolutely will make it very easy for her to catch Andrade on the way in. But it's whether Andrade is able to walk through some of those shots or whether she gets caught and dropped like Conejo is here. And that, I mean, that is a very meaningful look at Chris Tione. Wait, no, it's too late. Bang. She needed one of them harnesses that you have for unruly kids at the shop that just can't stop running around. I mean, like, she meant everything in that hammer fist, didn't she? Yeah, we've got another angle of it here. Look at that. Look how she uncorks it. Bang, right down the center line. Yeah, I mean, I think power-wise she can exchange, but it's leaving herself in range when Andrade decides she's moving forward and when you're going to do that. Lovely shot on the chin. Really clean. And then another hook to finish. Yeah, really cool. And then this is against Livina Souza. And this was kind of more the game that you would see from her if she wasn't fighting someone that's so aggressive pushing forward. Because Souza really wanted this fight on the floor. She didn't want to be dealing with this strength and power. She actually, the finish of this fight, she actually drops her with a jab. But you can see this right hand comes over the top here. And the difference between her punching and Andrade punching is that goes a lot longer and she's got her eyes on her opponent all the time. At no point is she kind of winging and closing range down and punching people that are right in front of her. She's got a very nice long boxing range that she uses well. I think she's definitely the more technical fighter. Right over that lead hand. Look at that. Beautiful. I think she's definitely the more technical striker. There are risks here, though. Now, if she's able to catch Andrade and put her on the floor, then like this is another reason why this one's an interesting one, because they occupy the same space standing because they both want to be pushing forward and using hands. Andrade doesn't have an ability to move backwards and fight. I've not seen it, But I have seen Lemos's ability to move back and strike. So let's assume that that's the way it plays out. Andrade comes crashing forward, wading in with big shots, and Lemos is dropping away and trying to counter-strike her and move away and counter-strike her. If, for example, Andrade is getting frustrated and she can't get her hands on her, she closes her down and tries to take her down against the fence, that then takes it into a whole different world where their strength and power is also equaled, but then applied differently. Like, Andrade's got guillotines on her record. Like, she catches people like in guillotines and squeezes the life out of them. She's got a very oppressive squeeze. She's got very powerful lifts and slams. Lemos is not going to waste that kind of energy picking people up and slamming, but when she gets clamped onto something, she'll squeeze just the same. And I feel like that there might be a bit more depth to the submission game of Lemos as well. Whereas you look at Andrade's game, and it's guillotines, guillotines, guillotines. I think there's a rear naked choke in there as well. But with Lemos, the way that she moves, and the fact that she's not necessarily chasing the submission, doesn't necessarily mean that she doesn't have them. And she's got two wins by submission on her record. So she's got the rear naked choke against Amanda Granger, which I'm going to show, and then she's got a guillotine as well. But There's a level of control that comes with Lemos's game, which I think it hints at a deeper jiu-jitsu skill set. I mean, this was the submission that she got on Granger. So Granger's basically doing everything she can to try and tie her up here. So Lemos has not got the back. She's not got the hooks or the back, but she still locks in this rear naked choke position. You'll see it a bit better from the other angle here. Like, this is not a rear naked choking position at all. It's not really a position of anything. But she puts such a squeeze on her that you actually see the point where Granger just, she kind of spasms a little bit and then goes stiff, like she's unconscious. Yeah, you'll see it here. Let me pull it back. Like, the reason I'm showing you this is because it shows how tight the squeeze is of Amanda Lemos, and she doesn't need ideal circumstances to get a finish. If she's able to catch Andrade with one of those counter shots and Andrade goes down, she might circle round and clamp onto an awkward rear naked choke, Jan Błachowicz, Devon Clark style, stand in and finish her there. Like, we know she's got that squeeze. And the fact that she's able to get this without the back and without the hooks, that's the point where she goes stiff. You can see it. Like, both of her legs and her arms go stiff at the same time. Ooh. Ooh. It's very odd. It's very odd watching people go unconscious. Like, her arms straighten. Oop. Like, the point is that there's a hell of a squeeze there that she's got. And at any point where she gets clamped onto her neck, she's going to be equally as dangerous as Jessica Andrade is. What she won't do is waste massive amounts of energy picking people up and slamming them. Because again, you know, we think of Andrade and that's what we think of. We think of her slamming Rose. We think of her picking Calderwood up over and over again and slamming her to the floor. Wastes massive amounts of energy, but it gives her opponent the opportunity to scramble, which is one of the reasons why she gets a lot of these guillotines. Because most of the time they're scrambling with bad posture. They're trying to keep their head down because they're being punched. And they go straight into these guillotines. And that tight power hooking game, you imagine how that transfers to a hook on a guillotine and a squeeze. Like, she's called pile driver for a reason. You know, she picks people up and slams them, but she's also got a compressive crush on her. She's a very, very powerful individual. I just don't know if she's going to be able to do that to Amanda Lemos. I think Lemos is going to be technically able and physically able to hold her off. It's whether she gets overwhelmed is the question. It's whether Andrade is able to, with persistence and firepower, just carpet bomb her way to a TKO finish, or whether she's able to, in the process of beating her up over five rounds, able to land enough strikes that when it comes to the scorecards, it's weighted heavily in her favor, even though she may have taken some clean shots in the process. I think Lemos is a very, very good fighter, very technical fighter. There's of course ways that you can lose to someone that's as powerful and as aggressive as Jessica Andrade, but that's the interest of the test, isn't it? You know, Andrade moving back down to strawweight, taking on someone that's ranked number 6. You know, even if Lemos wins this one, she's going to be moving up in the rankings. If Andrade wins this one, she puts herself right into a powerful position, already having wins over some of the top 10. But yeah, there's, you know, it's that ferocity of Andrade, and whether it can be capitalized on by the sharp shooting of Amanda Lemos. But this is a really, really fun fight to watch. I'm going to be looking forward to it very much. Enjoy, and I'll see you next time.